What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Feeling this, MJ.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Nats had a day off yesterday, getting back out there tonight, back at home, welcoming in one of the best teams in baseball in the Detroit Tigers. Helping us break it all down is our friend Bobby Blanco from Masson Sports. Bobby joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline. You can follow Bobby at Bobby_Blanco. Roberto, what up, man? How you doing?
What's going on, guys? How are you guys doing?
We're good, dude. Detroit's no joke. This is a tough homestand coming up. The Nats will not face Scooble, right?
Right. It does not seem he'll be lined up to pitch. I believe he pitched Sunday, so he's not lined up to face them in D.C. So they dodged the bullet there for sure.
I don't know. Detroit is 21 games over 500. The Tigers are 53-32. The Nats, unfortunately, are 35-49. Dude, the Nats are now in last place in the NL East. They've moved behind the Marlins. Where are we at, dude? Get us up to speed in Nats town.
Yeah, I mean, obviously things took a turn for the worse during that 11-game losing streak. In June they had a really bad June. I think they've only won like 7 or 8 total games in the month. That losing streak doesn't help. Obviously they salvaged somewhat this West Coast road trip by taking 2 of 3 from the Angels. So they end up going 4-5 against the Dodgers, Padres, and Angels, which, like, on the face of it, like, you wouldn't think is that bad, but you know, there were a couple of those Dodgers games you feel like they were in, they could have won. Definitely those Padres game, that last game, they only won 1-0 with Mackenzie Gore on the mound, and he was pitching really well, couldn't get any run support. So some missed opportunities there for sure. You would have liked – they had a chance to come out of that road trip, you know, a couple games above 500 over those 9 games, and that could have helped that overall record, but weren't able to pull it off. But like I said, they are coming off a little bit of a high. They won 2 of 3 in Anaheim. They had a really good – come back on Sunday and won an extra inning. James Wood getting intentionally walked 4 times was crazy, but they got the W. And after a day off, resting up, hopefully, you know, they can put up their best stuff against the Tigers, who are one of the best teams in the majors, if not the best. I feel like the Nats have been able to, at times, you know, step up their game when they do play tough opponents. They did so against the Dodgers earlier in the year at Nats Park. So let's see if they can do it again against the Tigers this week, and then also the Red Sox over the weekend.
Is it like the stuff that went down with the manager? Is that all behind them now, or are people still affected by it?
Talking about Davey, like asking for his people calling for his job.
No, when Davey said it's never on the coaches.
Oh yeah, I think that's kind of blown over. I mean, the losing streak. Ending obviously helped there. I didn't really get a sense that that was a major issue in the clubhouse. I know some players weren't thrilled about what he said, but I think that the Nationals, Davey included, and Mike Rizzo, you know, clarified what he meant it was a moment of frustration for him. You know, he didn't mean it, which was rare. We never see that really see that from Davey. But when you're losing as much as you have, it can be frustrating. But I get a sense that that's well in the past right now. No one in the clubhouse is really thinking about it or talking about it too much. So they've been able to put that behind them.
Dude, what is going on? So Gore pitches Wednesday afternoon in San Diego and throws a gem, and they can't get a single hit. And then Friday night, they drop 15 on the Angels. Like, what is it? It seems like specifically the bats go cold every time Gore's on the bump.
Yeah, it's just one of those weird things, and that's why you can't put a lot of stock into pitcher records. I mean, I think he's only like 3-9 this year, but you know, he leads the majors in strikeouts. He's got one of the best ERAs for a starting pitcher in the National League. Should be an all-star. And he pitched really well against a really tough lineup and came out as a loser, which is, you know, not necessarily fair. And, you know, I think back to those years. I think there was one year when Max was here, and I think it was one of his Cy Young years. He only won, like, 11 games. And, like, you're thinking, how are you winning a Cy Young when you only won 11 games? Well, he had an ERA under 3. He had a whip under barely around 1,000. He struck out, you know, almost 250. So Jacob DeGrom did the same thing with the Mets. I think the one year he won a Cy Young, he only won like 7 games. But his other metrics were just unbelievable. And so you can't put too much stock in starting pitching. I know it's frustrating for one, for McKenzie, but I think for the rest of the team too. I think the bats know that they can't put up that kind of effort when their best pitcher's on the mound, because he gives them a chance to win every 5 days.
I did want to ask a little All-Star game talk. I saw, is today 1 year since they called up James Wood?
Yes, yesterday, well, 1 year ago, he made his debut on July 1st last year at Nationals Park.
That's crazy. Right. I mean,
against the Mets.
What do you think is like the most impressive part of covering James Wood now for a year?
That's a great question. I think for me, just being around him on a daily basis is that, and I've said this to a couple people too, like I don't get, his stardom is just on an unreal trajectory right now. Like, it's just shooting up. Like, even if he's not elected to this All-Star game, the league is going to find a way to put him there. Like, they just have to. He is one of their budding stars. But for James, he is just the same dude every single day. And like, I know that's cliche to say, but JP and Beamish, I feel like you probably feel the same way about like Jaden Daniels when you cover the Commanders. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just like, he's this guy that is now becoming the face of this franchise, this league, but he is just the same laid back dude every single day. I mean, I know it's tough for him on the road, because especially like places like LA, New York, you get a lot of that market media coming to talk to you. Of course, a lot of people in San Diego wanted to talk to him and CJ coming over from the trade. But he is just like that same kind of laid back dude, just chilling, going about his business, hanging out with his teammates. You know, he's chilling at his locker. You know, you don't have to go up and talk to him for an interview. You can just go chat about whatever's going on. And you know, him and I being local dudes, it's kind of fun to talk about what's going on locally. You know, he obviously started his high school career at St. John's. I went to Gonzaga, so he's got that little rivalry back and forth. But oh, wow. I think it's been like just very impressive how the stardom has not really faced him at all, and he continues to just do his thing, getting intentionally walked 4 times on Sunday, the first player to do that since Barry Bonds in 04, and he's just like shrugging it off and be like, all right, I'm just going to go run the bases and score and help my team win. So he's the same man. He's the same guy every single day, which is really impressive.
Have you allowed yourself any time to look at him and what he's doing and look at some guys who come before him and say, you know what, he's on this trajectory?
Yeah, because, you know, so I think over the weekend, it might have been Sunday exactly, but he played his 162nd game. So that's the equivalent of a full major league season. And he hit the exact same amount of home runs that Bryce Harper and Juan Soto did over their first 162 Internationals uniform. And those two guys are superstars. And those two guys are MVP caliber players. Bryce has won 2 MVPs. Those two guys, you know, Juan has a World Series ring, and you know, look at the money that they command. Like, those guys are faces of this sport, and James Wood has done just as well as them, and in some cases better than them, over his first 162 games in a Nationals uniform. So it's very easy to make those side-by-side comparisons to some of the two best Nationals players we've ever seen, while he's still, 22 years old and only in his second, not even second full season, because he only made his debut a year ago. So this is really his first full year in the majors, which is just crazy.
Definitely crazy. Talking with our friend Bobby Blanco here from Masson Sports via the Rude Guest Hotline. Bobby, I saw there's some minor league news for Nats minor leaguers getting into the futures game. Get us up to speed on the two guys that got named there and kind of what their future is.
Yeah, so the main guy is Travis Sikora, who I actually just interviewed for our podcast at Mass in a district chat. You can catch that wherever you get your pods. He was great, but he's our top prospect. He's a top prospect in all of baseball. He's been one of the fastest rising prospects over the past year plus that we've seen in the sport. He just got promoted last week to Double-A Harrisburg. He's he just turned 21 years old. He was drafted in the third round the same year of Dylan Cruz out of high school, and he was one of the top prep arms in that draft, definitely out of the state of Texas. They signed him away from his commitment to Texas, and he has just been completely dominant. So he was one that got elected to the Futures game. He had a so-so debut at Double-A on Sunday, but some of the underlying numbers look better. He struck out six. He walked five, which he was not happy about. He definitely has some Max Scherzer vibes on his start days. He's just a very intense guy and laser focused, but he's very cool and easy to talk to, you know, when he's not focusing in on his starts. And then Marquise Grissom Jr. is the other pitcher. He's a reliever at Rochester. He split time between Harrisburg and Rochester this year. He's just a good story for this franchise because, you know, looking back, like the Futures game, everyone gets a couple of prospects in. And for the longest time now, the Nationals have been a lot of outfielders, infielders, Brady House last year. This team used to be stacked with pitching prospects, and they haven't been in recent years. So these are the two pitchers that are going to pitch in this game, hopefully, since Kate Cavalli did in like 21. So that's a good sign for this farm system that they're getting some good pitcher recognition across the country.
I assume, is that Marquise Grissom that used to play for the Braves? Is that his son?
Yes, and I think his dad is actually going to be coaching the other team that he's going to be pitching against, which is pretty cool.
That's crazy. What is the timeline for those guys, like big leagues-wise?
So Grissom is, he's already at AAA. He's been pitching mostly as a reliever. So that TBD, his numbers aren't great. 470 ERA, a whip over 1500, doesn't strike out a whole bunch, but you know, he's extra arms you have, depth you have at the minor league level at AAA if you absolutely need it. But Sikora, I know they're promoting this guy quickly. He only made six starts at high A before getting bumped up to Double A this year, so they're not afraid to promote him, but this guy is going to be like the next, big piece of this rotation. They are looking forward to him being like the number two starter behind Mackenzie Gore for years to come. I mean, he's that good. So you're probably not going to see him at the major league this year. He'll maybe get up to AAA.
Would he have a chance coming out of spring next year?
Probably I would imagine he would at least get a spring invite next year. And depending on how he does, if he gets promoted to Rochester, the thing is, he's not one of those guys that they're going to bring up in September as a call-up to pitch out of the bullpen just to see what he's got. They're going to keep him as a starter, very unlike, Yarlin Susana and Brad Lord, where they've been starters, but, they could project better as relievers. No, Travis Sikora is going to be a starter. He's going to be a part of this rotation. So, yeah, I would look forward to hopefully seeing him at AAA by the end of this season, and then and come next spring, he get an invitation to big league camp and see what he can do and maybe crack the opening day roster. That would be a stretch, I think, because he's still very young. But, he has that good stuff that he could, force the issue if he gets there.
Force the issue, brother.
So we're talking about, two prospects for the Nats in the Futures game. But there's also so much talk about drafting and developing being – subpar for the Nats for some time. And obviously they killed the Soto trade. I don't know who I was talking to last night, but somebody was yelling at me about the Scherzer trade and the Turner trade. They didn't get enough for those guys. What do you make of where the system is for the Nats?
It's a great question. It's a question that, probably wish we had more time to delve deeper into, but, I think they've done really well with trades. The Soto trade obviously being the big one. I mean, having C.J. McKenzie, James, and at one point Robert Hassel all in the same major league field at one time is a huge win. And no matter like what happens with Hassel or Susana at this point, that trade was a win for this team. So they knocked that out of the park right there. You know, the Scherzer deal, you could nitpick, but at the time, I think everyone agreed that it was a pretty solid deal for the Nationals. And you know, they have had some good draft stories, like Dalen Lyle, now still at the major league level, was, a second-round pick that he's now playing at the major leagues. They've turned Cole Henry and Jackson Rutledge into reliable relief pitchers, even though they were second round and first round pick respectively. But yeah, I know a lot's been made of the development. I mean, they've got the opportunity to add more to this farm system. They had the number one pick in a couple, not this weekend, but next weekend in the draft. They can add a top prospect right there. Brady House has, you know, was a former first round pick. He's at the major league level playing well. So, I mean, I think you can nitpick pretty much any farm system except for a few handfuls who are either really good or really bad. But I do think that the Nationals do have some good stories on their farm right now that are making progress. Travis Acora, we just talked about being one of them. I know he's not at the major league level yet, but he, like I said, he is one of the top and fastest rising prospects in all of the sport. So that's a good sign for this team right now. I mean, they really have to nail that pick, the number one overall pick in the coming weeks, coming days, to add another top prospect. But, you know, we'll see. So I don't necessarily see it as bad as everybody else does. But that's in large part because a lot of their top guys have graduated. You know, James Woods at the major league level, Mackenzie Gore, C.J. Abrams, you know, Dylan Cruz, when he's healthy, will be back up there. So I think that's not a bad thing when you have a lot of your top young prospects already at the majors.
What is the Cruz injury timeline? When's he back?
So he was able to travel with the team on that West Coast trip, start taking some light swings. That's a good sign. I'm sure we'll get an update tonight from Davey after the off day now that they're back at home. The next step for him will be taking full swings and do full baseball activity and then probably ramp up towards a couple of rehab games before getting back in the lineup at the major league level. So, you know, obliques are tough. You know, it's unfortunate, but the good news was that he was able to take some light swings over this road trip. So the next step will be full swings and then more baseball activity. Hopefully, you know, right after the All-Star break, I think will be an ideal situation for him to come back.
Let's hope when he comes back, he's hitting well.
Hitting well would be great.
Last thing, the number one pick's coming, right? Who do you think it's going to be?
You know, for the long time, I thought it was going to be Ethan Holliday. I thought he was pretty much, no one's really a sure thing, but pretty much as close to a sure thing. You don't really draft to fill a hole in baseball draft or down the line, but he would fill a hole at either corner outfield spot. Particularly first base, if they decide to move over there. He's a more natural power hitter like his dad, unlike his brother Jackson with the Orioles. But, I mean, some of those college pitchers, man, had really good showings in the College World Series. Kid Anderson being one of them, the lefty from LSU. You know, the question's going to be for Mike Rizzo and his scouting department is, what do they value more? Guy with, you know, sure potential and a high ceiling that may take a longer time to get to the majors, or a guy that can get to the majors quickly and kind of line up with their timeline of hoping to compete within the next year or two?
It's going to be interesting. I think you take the pitcher, dude. But I don't know. We'll find out. Power hitter would be great. They could use one to protect wood and get a lot better.
Yep.
Bobby, thank you for the time, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, guys, anytime. Appreciate it. Have a good 4th of July weekend.
You do the same,
brother.
You
do the same, man. You do the same. That's our boy Bobby Blanco, Nats Insider for Masson Sports. You can read his work, MassonSports.com. Check out his podcast. Give him a follow at Bobby_Blanco. Of course, joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. If it ain't rude, it ain't right. When we return, let's talk about Terry McLaurin.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.